This is Bishop Wayne Malcolm, and you are on the Breed Conference call on this Monday night that is devoted to silver members of the ICANN Global Network and to all who will join on the call. We are going to share some spiritual laws. We're going to do a Bible study tonight, and we're going to unpack a beautiful biblical principle. Tonight's lesson is entitled, The Inside Job. The Inside Job. And I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter number 2. Now, I love the book of Joshua because it is a transitional book about a transitional leader leading transitional people through transitional times. The book specifically describes Israel's transition from promise to possession, from talking it to walking it. You see, for the first 5 books of the Bible, Israel has a promise and is promised a land. But it is only in Joshua that Israel as a people possess the promised land. So this is really a book about possessing promises, and in some respects it is a manual, it is a handbook on how to possess your promises. It is packed with principles, it is loaded with lessons, and we could spend several years just in this book extracting principles. I love the book of Joshua and the character of Joshua. Now, the book deals with the possession of promises, but it also deals with the transformation of territories, the transformation of regions. Joshua went into the land of Canaan, which was covenant country, promised land, but it was occupied, it was inhabited, and it was inhabited by various tribal groups and ethnicities. Canaanites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Hittites, Amorites, Girgashites. There were all of the various ites occupying and inhabiting the covenant country and the promised land of God. And the Bible describes their moral character. They were cannibals. That's what Baal worship. That was one of the main features of Baal worship, and Baal was the main god for the Canaanites. They were cannibals, they were barbarians, they practiced various abominations and expressions of debauchery. And the Bible said, God said to Israel that this land is going to spew them out. And you're going to go into this covenant country, and you're going to take the territory. You're going to dedicate the territory to God and transform that territory. So ICANN Global Network is very much about regional transformation, national reformation, and recovery. And when it comes to transforming a region, there are principles right here in the book of Joshua that will empower us and enable us to carry out our mission in the earth. Well, Joshua chapter number 2 describes the beginnings of the conquest of Jericho. And Jericho is one of the early cities that Joshua took. He took the entire city. Many of you know the story of the walls of Jericho falling. And Joshua took over the city and literally seized a city. So this is really about how you seize a city. And the story is to be understood or applied metaphorically and not literally. We are not trying to go into any city with swords and guns blazing. We're not trying to burn down any cities. We're not hoping that the defenses of a city will fall. But what we are doing is looking at the principle of transformation, of national reformation, of seizing our cities and changing the territory. And there are principles here. Now, what do I mean by understanding something or interpreting something metaphorically and applying it metaphorically? I mean that, the walls of Jericho, for example, you know, they were physical walls, but they were the defense mechanism that was the city's defenses. And, you know, every city has its defenses that are designed to keep out the influence of God. But every defense and every wall that is meant to keep out the influence of God is going to fall as we lift our voices in praise. And this is a metaphoric way of applying the story of Jericho's fall. But in the second chapter of Joshua, I'm going to read a few verses as follows. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." You know, I don't know where they were from. "And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I wot not. Where they went, I don't know. And here's what the king said, pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. Okay. Now, that's the beginning of the story of Rahab the harlot, who housed the two spies that Joshua sent into the city. And I'm talking tonight about the inside job. The inside job. And I really want you to notice in this passage how that before Jericho fell, God first sent some agents into the city, and they got into the city in unlikely places, and they were there to gather intelligence, and they were there to make converts. They made converts, they gathered intelligence, they were able to aid the army that was outside, and this is typically God's way. Now, God's way, God's style, you know, if God's going to take a city or a system, and I want you to think now, again, when I say city, again, this must be applied metaphorically. Cities in the ancient world were kingdoms. That's why Jericho has a king, okay, because Jericho is a kingdom. It's a country, but it was really a city that had city walls. But they saw it as their kingdom and as their country. And when God is, and when you read that, instead of thinking just about the geopolitical city in which you live, it's about understanding that the same principles apply to a system of whatever sort. So Jericho doesn't just represent the cities of our world, but it also represents the systems of our world, the systems of our world. Hallelujah. And in this respect, it represents communities, it represents industries, it represents institutions. Jericho represents communities, represents industries, and represents institutions. So if God is going to take over a system, a community, an industry or an institution, he will always start by placing someone on the inside. And this is what happened for these spies, because God's way and God's style is always to get into the system and to change it from the inside out. To get into the system and to change it from the inside out. That's his style. And we got lots of examples of this in the Bible, and I'm surely you heard me say this before. It's part of the ethos of ICAM Ministries, and it's, you know, it's the Joseph model, how that Joseph was separated from his brethren, positioned in the palace of Pharaoh, and from that position he brought transformation to the region. It's about Esther, who was positioned in the palace of King Ahasuerus, and from that position she brought transformation to the region. It's about Daniel, who was positioned in the palace of King Darius, and from his position he brought transformation to the region. And there are numerous examples of God putting people in the system as special agents, and in many cases as secret agents. They are inside the system. They are planted by God, positioned by God, promoted by God, and prospered by God inside the system, but they are positioned on purpose. You see, transformation is always an inside job. Transformation is always an inside job. This is true of us personally. We are transformed, the Bible says, by the renewing of our mind. Well, how does our mind get renewed? New thoughts enter into our mind. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. So as the word of God comes into your mind and into the chaos of your mind, transformation of your mind occurs. Christ changed our lives. We talk about Jesus changing my life. Well, how does he do that? He comes into it just as you are, and then the transformation happens from the inside out. In fact, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant that God cut with Moses and the children of Israel, was written in tables on tables or tablets of stone, but and failed to transform the people. It literally failed with all of its threats and all of its promises. It failed to transform or sustain the people of Israel. And the very land that they were promised and that they were given to inherit eventually expelled them. They were exiled from their own land and went through series and after series of apostasies and rebellions, and needed prophets and kings to try to, and priests to bring the nation back to God. When you read Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the major and the minor prophets, you will hear them calling the nation back to God, because laws written on tables of stone acting extrinsically on a person do not transform a person's life. But in the new covenant, without the physical law, with the tablets of stone abolished, God has written his will on the fleshy tables of the heart, on the tablets of the heart. So the commandments of God are now written on the inside. And when a commandment is acting on you intrinsically from the inside, there is the transformation. So this is true of us as people. It's true of our mind. We get transformed as new thought comes into our mind. Well, the same is true for a society. New people have to get into the system of the society. New people have to go into the police force. New people have to go into politics and government. New people have to go into education. New people have to go into the various manifestations of culture, lifestyles, norms, values, what's accepted, what's expected, media, education. They have to go into it. New people with new minds have to get into the system. So we see a metaphor of this in Jericho, that before the city was taken, you know, it wasn't simply, you know, it looked like it was just taken from the outside. But if you start early on, the city was taken from the inside, that actually God had people undercover, special agents, secret agents, operating in unlikely places inside the system, which is why one of the pillars and the cornerstones of our movement is to not judge. Woo! Judge not that you be not judged. It is so easy. Hey, Lord, help me now. It is so easy for a wannabe preacher or for a Christian person to stand up like Jeremiah, call everyone to repentance, and point out all the sins of other people. It's so easy. Any problem you're making is that you're in the wrong age. You should be saying that to Israel, because Israel has a covenant with God. And secondly, you don't understand the kingdom, the dynamics of the kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is not religion. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is the influence of God acting intrinsically on a human spirit. Woo! And therefore, you cannot judge. Whilst you are trying to pull the tares out of the field, you will pull up the wheat as well. Why? Because the wheat and the tares are so intertwined that you have to leave it to the angels to make that judgment, that decision. You cannot judge a believer in politics. You cannot judge a believer who's in the educational system. You cannot judge a believer that's in the entertainment industry until you understand what it is God is doing with them. And sometimes they are on the inside. Sometimes you are on the inside, totally misunderstood and rejected by your own people on the outside. Do we have any examples of this? Of course we do. Joseph is a classic example. His own brethren had no idea that he was even alive. They didn't recognize him while he was serving God in the system. They stood in front of him and didn't even know who he was. There was no visible discerning features that said, this person is my brother. They were clueless because Joseph's true identity was hidden for his assignment. Now, someone who say, well, Bishop, doesn't that give license to people to do all manner? Actually, I don't give or revoke licenses. God gives and God revokes licenses. And God gives grace for spaces. And if God has positioned you within a kingdom, he'll give you grace in that kingdom so that you become a thermostat and not a thermometer. What do I mean by that? You set the temperature, you change the temperature, you don't simply read the temperature. And so that's another lesson that we're going to deal with in this series in terms of what holiness really looks like on the mission field. But God's way is to put someone inside the system, because true transformation, lasting change, is always an inside job. That means that God is recruiting right now. Woo! God is recruiting right now. He is recruiting and interviewing and positioning right now. See, the harvest is plenteous, the fields are white, ready to be harvested, but the laborers are few, the workers are few, and God is calling you into the mission. And what does he want? What is he looking for? He's looking, number one, for an agent, a special agent, and in many cases, a secret agent. He is looking for an agent. He wants an agent that he can put inside a system, which is either a community, it is an industry, it is an institution. God is recruiting agents, special agents, and some will operate as secret agents. Do I have any Bible for that? Of course I have Bible for that. Esther was a secret agent for the kingdom of God in the kingdom of Ahasuerus, totally unknown to her own husband and unknown to the courts and the princes of the kingdom of Ahasuerus. Her true identity was unknown. What was she? A secret agent. In fact, the book of Esther is all about covert kingdom operations, because some kingdom operations are of a totally covert nature. God wants an agent. God, number one. Number two, God wants access to the city, which represents the system. God wants access to the systems of this world. He wants access to the communities of this city. He wants access to the industries an access to the institutions. He wants a door. And when you are positioned in the system, you become God's access to that system. You are God's agent, but you are also God's access. Why are you his access? Because when Jesus sent his disciples to go preach the gospel to every creature, to them, his final words to them, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." I am with you always. In other words, wherever you go, I go. And wherever you are, there I am. So when God puts you in a system, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. When he puts you in a system, he has really put himself in that system because he goes where you go. Number three, God wants an advert, an advertisement, a billboard, a brochure, a website. God wants an advert in that system. In other words, he wants someone who can model the kingdom, someone who can model kingdom values, kingdom ethics, kingdom excellence, kingdom purposes, someone who can model kingdom lifestyles, someone who's not going to lose their prayer life because of the environment that they're working in and operating in. So God wants an advert in the kingdom, someone that can advertise. And then I'm going to give a fourth one. I've done before, but I'm going to give a fourth one now. God wants an advocate in the system, an advocate in the system, someone who can argue his cause, someone who can represent his interests. God wants, here's another one, an ambassador. Woo! An ambassador. Now, you know, we love to quote the passage, "So then we are ambassadors for Christ." Ambassadors, what does that mean? You know, our ministry is the Christ Ambassadors Network. That's what ICANN is, the International Christ Ambassadors Network. But what does it mean to be an ambassador? An ambassador is not a politician. And a politician is an elected representative of a voting constituency. But an ambassador is the embodiment of a kingdom. A politician works at home. Ambassadors always work abroad. You know, we don't have English ambassadors to the UK because in the UK, our public servants are politicians. They are elected representatives of voting constituencies, and they serve our local interests, our national interests. But an ambassador works abroad in a foreign territory, in another country, and he or she is the embodiment of that kingdom, so that what you do to the ambassador, you do to the kingdom. The ambassador's residence is the embassy of the kingdom. So the United Kingdom has embassies in the different countries of the world, but you know what? It's not a matter of simply buying or renting a building and saying this is the embassy. No, there is a legal agreement and a contract that says this piece of real estate, this building, is the United Kingdom. This building is the United Kingdom. And for you to cross these borders, you need a passport, you need permission, you need an invitation. Whatever's going on in your country is your business, but in this building, we are governed by the laws of the United Kingdom. That's what ambassadors are about. That's what embassies are about. And what God wants is an ambassador, someone who he can send to a foreign territory, a foreign system, a foreign region, who is then going to represent the interest of his own kingdom. So God wants an agent. He's looking for agents. He's looking for access. He's looking for advertisements. He's looking for advocates, and he's looking for ambassadors. So I want to get to this point now, seeing God is recruiting. Somebody's out there saying, "God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. What is my ministry? What is my purpose? What is my calling? What is my gift? Use me, use me." Well, I'm telling you that God wants to take back our cities. God wants to take back our communities. God, by his kingdom force in the earth, is repossessing and reclaiming communities, industries, and institutions. He is taking it back. And he's looking now for agents and for access and for adverts and advocates and ambassadors who he can position in the system. The question now is, what is the purpose of your presence in a system? What is the purpose of your presence in a system? See, you're already in the system. You are in a community. You're living in a community. Round about you, there are others. That community has its own unique culture, its challenges, its issues, its opportunities, its threats. You are inside that kingdom or that community. The question is, what is the purpose of your presence in that community? Likewise, if you're working, if you have a business or you are working, you're employed, then you are also in an industry. You are in an industry, which is a system, a kingdom. You are in an industry. What is the purpose of your presence in that industry? See, if your only purpose is to make a living and get out of it, then that's all you're ever going to get out of it. But when you realize there may be a higher purpose, that maybe God has planted me on purpose, maybe God has positioned me inside this industry, what is the purpose of my position? And then if you're in an institution, a political institution, a religious institution, an economic institution, you're in, you know, where, you know, if that's where you operate, where you work, where your career calling has taken you, what is the purpose of that position? So I'm going to give you four purposes of your position and then call it a night. Purpose number one of your position is to gather intelligence. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you four eyes. The first eye is intelligence. See, that was the purpose of the spies. The spies went in order to give information, valuable information to Joshua, who's on the outside. Sometimes your presence in a system is there so that you can inform the prayer warriors who are on the outside, so that you can inform the praise warriors who are on the outside, and so you can inform the prophets and the preachers who are developing strategies to take that region, that territory, that system back. You may be there as the insider to get the intelligence. Very important that you share the knowledge you are learning inside a kingdom, that you share the knowledge, that you disperse the information. That may be your key role. Number two is to instruct the king. Instruction. This is what Joseph did. He instructed the king. He was a coach to the king, a mentor to the king, an advisor to the king. And it may be your purpose in that kingdom, in that city, to give counsel to its leadership. And your counsel is always going to be linked to your credibility, so you have to become a credible person in that system, which is why there is an anointing for career success. And if you will align your career with the agenda of heaven, the anointing for career success will fall upon you, your credibility will be increased, and your authority in that industry will be increased, and the king will give you his ear. Instruction is one of the purposes for your presence. Same is true in your community. You may be there to be a guide. Number three, intercepting the plan of the enemy. That's what Esther did. She intercepted the plan of the enemy. Sometimes because you're inside, you know what the enemy's planning, and you have the power of intercepting. Number four is to influence the character or the culture of that kingdom. See, when you start manifesting the kingdom lifestyle, you start exhibiting love, joy, and peace. You start exhibiting righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. You start displaying the power of a spiritual life, and you become salty, and you make men thirsty for God. You will have the, and you are successful, you will have the credibility to influence the entire character of that institution, the entire character of that industry, and the entire character of that community, because that is the purpose for your presence. So Tonight's lesson is about the inside job. It's about how God wants to use you inside the Jericho, the city, the system, the community, the industry, the institution. God wants to use you, and he's recruiting right now. All you, Lord, I surrender. Use my 9-to-5. Use my working life, my professional life. Use my career. Let my career serve the purposes of heaven. Use me to get intelligence, to instruct, to intercept, and to influence. Well, thank you for bearing with me tonight. Went a little bit over time, about 1 minute, and that was a great session. I'm going to